Ken Gardner, we're the Aluminum Company of North Carolina in Durham on Hamlin Road, and I'm Mike Rayleigh, and I've been hosting this show for a little while, and Paul McKenzie is with us, now retired from the Cooperative Extension Service in Warren and Vance County as of a couple of weeks ago. Boy, that was a cold, rainy day when you retired, but it was a great one for you, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. And
thank you.
Brother Rufus Edmonston is here.
Hello.
Everything cool? Better get your the microphone. Doesn't sound very good, does it?
Folks in Radio Land?
Boy, that sounds bad.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry. You sounded like you're 10-4
well,
and all over the place.
I don't think I've got this temper.
It's just kind of tinny, as they say. We'll have to find something else for you.
Maybe that's a signal that I should be quiet.
I think I have a microphone, but we'll have to set it up. We'll have to do with this for a few minutes. At any rate, please come out to the Aluminum Company today because lots and lots of things are happening, as they usually do, because they're having an open house. And when they have an open house here on Hamlin Road, then by golly, they have food, and they'll have biscuits, and Rufus has already had his fruit for the morning, a banana. And
yeah, they brought in those sausage and egg biscuits and things like that. I'm about to break the rule.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll be okay. We won't tell anybody.
No,
you just did.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether my heart doctors are listening or not, but they were on the show here.
I know, and they probably told you not to do that. They probably gave you a list of things not to do.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we can only do so much. You have to carry the day. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're so glad to be here. This is like home. Folks here have been advertising with WPTF for decades and decades, and while we're in our 100th year here at WPTF, approaching our 100th anniversary in September, October, and that's no good. You'll have to get rid of that. So we're having mic problems this morning, folks. Forgive us. We know not what we do sometimes. I certainly don't. I can't fix the wires or the mics, but we'll see if we can. I don't hear a buzz.
All right, you want to check on this? Is this a little bit better?
No, it's a little bit. It's about the same. It's sounds like you're using one of the Mayberry police cars and 10-4-ing all over the place.
No, I'm not warred.
Was he worried about the police, or?
Yeah, he was worried about being warred.
Well, I guess you could have been, at any rate.
Did you ever have to do that? Where you couldn't talk about it if you did.
He wouldn't wear the wire. He would require.
He would place the order.
He would get somebody to wear a wire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And he would give the order.
With a proper permission, according to law.
I don't
of course.
Hear anything. I don't hear Rufus. I mean, I can hear him, but not like we should. But we'll get this straightened out here in a moment. You know, like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, I Must Garden is there to help. It's always exciting to see plants emerging from the ground and buds just, beginning to flower. But what no one wants to see is the unsightly damage from moles and voles. Moles can turn your lawn into an obstacle course. They're unsightly mounds and raised tunnels. Voles kill plants by gnawing on the bark of trees. And I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Shrubs, well, they eat the roots of those plants, those very expensive plants that you've purchased. Say goodbye to those annoying critters. I Must Garden Mole and Vole Repellent is there to save the day. I Must Garden Mole and Vole Repellent is made from natural ingredients and blended with botanical oils, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution. And a unique blend of natural ingredients coats the food sources of moles and voles, chasing them away from, you know, the treated area. So it contains no harsh chemicals, just pure, effective protection. I Must Garden repellents are available all over the Triangle area, including local garden centers like Southern States in Carrboro, where one of their many April hot buys include I Must Garden deer repellent. Protect your garden today with I Must Garden repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. I Must Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We're at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina here on WPTEF. Hope you're having a great morning. It's 8:14. We're back on WPTEF for the Weekend Gardener. You got Rufus straightened out, I think. Speak to me, Rufus.
Oh, all right. Speak to me.
Well, yes, the way you're supposed to sound. Yeah.
Now, seems like a flower. So pure and sweet and fair that each time I touch your hair, I pray to God to keep you young, pure, sweet, and fair. Now, that's a poem I learned to try to woo a young lady one time when I was in high school.
Did you woo her?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I can understand that.
But I don't want her now. I got what I need now.
We don't know where she is anyway, do we?
No.
You can't remember her name, can you?
Don't want to.
Well, I'm a doggone.
Oh, I remember her very well.
Well, she is
fine person.
Boone?
Yeah, in Boone.
In Boone. How about that?
Watauga Elementary School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? Well, so.
By the way, as we were walking in here, Paul, we saw something, and Mike sort of identified it as heather.
Right out behind you, if you look out the if you have a chance to look out the window, you can't. It's pretty low.
Okay.
But it looks like now I've seen heather in Scotland and Ireland.
Right, it looks familiar to me.
And they favor.
Yeah,
I'll go check it out.
So I don't know. I mean, is there a variety that adapts to much warmer weather than?
Yes, I've had heather before.
I experienced in either one of those countries, but it's beautiful. It really is. I mean, this is very striking. I don't know.
Well, I will have to look it up on the NC State Extension Plants Database.
Yeah.
As I always do.
And that's they have some very detailed descriptions of any plant that you should have in your landscape.
It is an amazing tool.
Yeah, I wonder how long it took to put all of that together.
Oh, thousands of hours, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, under the great leadership of Lucy Bradley and Charlotte Glenn, with NC State Extension, who kind of oversee the Master Gardener Volunteer Program statewide. And also with tremendous help from others on campus, and a lot of Master Gardener volunteers contributed as well. There was a big effort and an ongoing effort, because you can imagine that that online database, plant database, takes a lot of maintenance as well.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something I've seen blooming that I used to see. I know in the 90s it was blooming in May, but it's blooming now as grandfather's beard.
Oh, Chionanthus?
The tree.
The tree with the white kind of lacy.
Right, yeah.
Oh, that is a lovely.
It's a beautiful
lovely
tree.
Lovely tree.
But only for a little while. I mean, relatively short period. The rest of the year it's kind of non.
But it is a native, and it's a great addition to the landscape, Chionanthus. And there's a native version. There's also a version that comes from China that performs well, if I'm not mistaken. But if you're looking for a good, you know, I mean, people rely on the same plants over and over and over again. And if you're looking for something different – And if you want to try to add more natives, which I think is a good thing, that's a good one to look at.
And it's you got to have full sun for it. I've noticed that if you really want the bloom,
right?
And that's that's what it is.
And if you want a nice shaped tree, and that's true.
I've really seen different shapes that people prune them. You know, prune them from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the limbs are much closer to the bottom, and it has a different effect.
Another one that's blooming right now is New Jersey tea, which is
never heard of that.
That's a shrub, another native plant.
Why is it called New Jersey?
Yeah, that's right, New Jersey.
I didn't.
That's the first thing the lawyer asked.
I think the scientific name is Itea. Itea.
Okay. Well, I've heard of IKEA, but but not
that's a little different.
It's native to New Jersey. What are you saying?
All right, Virginia sweet spire, I think.
No,
that's a different one.
I've heard of that. But that's native.
But
to Virginia.
That's also another good native. Native shrub. Ceanothus.
Oh, okay.
Ceanothus.
I've heard Americanus.
Ceanothus Americanus. Mountain snowbell, if you prefer. You can call it mountain snowbell. But that is a lovely little native shrub. Beautiful, delicate white. Small snowball-shaped blossoms. This time of year, I saw one blooming yesterday driving around, just on the side of the road in Wake Forest. Snowbell, I think, instead of snowball. Snowbell,
okay, yeah, because the Chinese snowball is blooming prolifically around here. I mean, they've never looked better. That's a viburnum, but it has big white.
Yeah.
Puffballs.
There's so much, there's so much that people can do with shrubbery, with flowering shrubbery. I mean, you think of flowering shrubbery, what do you think of? You think of azaleas and camellias. Those are wonderful, but there's so much diversity. And that's the one thing that we need in our landscape is we need diversity. And there's, the viburnums. I mean, all the things that I mentioned are great possibilities.
Yeah, that's something that Tony Avid has always said. Don't plant the...
Don't plant what your neighbors
plant.
Yeah, and don't plant what your neighbors plant. I mean, it's fine, but plant something different.
They went to Dallas Brule. We'll talk to him or somebody we can track down. They all moving around or consulting or doing meeting or doing something.
Well, I already had a great conversation with Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
About my windows at home because we've got where the windows get fogged, where the seal breaks or fails between the panes.
Yeah.
And he was really quite helpful.
Oh, and well, they're so knowledgeable here.
Yeah, and he gave me a price, a rough estimate price, which was very reasonable, great quality window. And he also gave me another option that would be kind of a less expensive, also less lower quality, more likely to fail again.
They gave you some choices.
Yeah, he gave me some choices. Gave me some very upfront, very straightforward. So I was impressed.
Yeah, he's great. So many of these guys have been here a long time, and they're very experienced. And some have contractor licenses themselves, even though they don't often utilize it, but they keep it up. So they know what's going to be done and what they're doing, of course. So that's Brother Rufus.
Well, Paul mentioned a moment ago, don't plant what your neighbor's planting. I could give some great examples of that in my own home place. Having to take down four Leland cypress. Everybody was planting them at that time because they grew quickly and rapidly.
Everything comes back to those Leland cypress.
Absolutely. And then I noticed, Mike, before you came to pick me up this morning, I didn't recognize that I had three red tips left. That were not diseased.
I've seen a bunch of them.
They're blooming beautifully now.
I've seen a bunch of them lately. Maybe red leaves are coming out.
Maybe enough of them have died that the disease has you know, dissipated a little bit.
Yeah,
and the ones that survived, and maybe the ones that survived have some, you know, some hardiness.
Well, I went and checked them real quickly.
Yeah.
And I didn't find any sort of disease on the leaves.
Entomosporium leaf spot was what used to get them.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't plant them. But if you've got some that have survived and they're doing well, then
I don't know that you can find anywhere to buy them anymore.
I would doubt it. I wouldn't think
so. These,
the
ones I've seen are very mature. They're very tall.
Right.
And I don't know. It's just kind of haphazard. You see them here and there once in a while. But I've seen them lately. They're so noticeable because of the new red leaves on them. And that was part of the attraction back in the 80s when they were so prolific.
The bloom right now is how I noticed them.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about them in my landscape. And I thought, well, my goodness, I didn't have to
take
those down.
That bloom is kind of like the Bradford pear bloom, isn't it? It doesn't smell very good. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering
wrong. It looks like sort of a small viburnum.
Yeah.
But what
baseball size.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that concerns me is that we're just going to repeat the cycle with another plant.
Well, we have with some, the crepe myrtle is having some problems right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was shopping at one of the home stores yesterday during the day since I'm retired.
Well, fancy that.
And, you know, they had just scores of arborvitaes, which is a good plant. It's a good plant. It's a good screen plant. But I just fear, like, is that going to be the next, you know, thing that gets overplanted?
Because, yeah, then, people are substituting for Leland cypress
and then people don't
arborvitae.
And then people don't pay attention to the, especially, oh, gosh, contractors, you know, with, you know.
Well, they have deadlines and they have certain, I mean, you know, they have certain.
And I'm talking about commercial.
Yeah. And they, you know, they have certain price ranges they have to deal with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they.
But I just fear we're going
to. Yeah, well, they have to deal also with people wanting instant.
Yes.
Right.
There's a good reason for a lot of this stuff, like Leland cypress.
Yeah.
That was instant gratification.
Yeah. Right. But you got to pay attention to how big is that plant going to get.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Most of us don't. But that's the first thing I remember, and I've repeated it so many times, that Irv Evan said, don't plant a – and I didn't know what a loropetalum was back then.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, don't plant a – somebody had a question about one, and he said, don't plant it under your window.
Right.
Because it'll be as tall as the house.
Here's the thing. If you're having to prune something once or twice a year to keep it under control size-wise –
yeah.
You picked the wrong plant.
Yeah.
You know,
and we're all guilty of that.
Yeah. And you're gonna save yourself time in the long run.
Even Chip Winston is. We'll be back here on WPTF. We're back at WPTF at 8:34. Mike Rayleigh here. Folks are coming in. That's early. I didn't think people got up this early. We just, folks coming in. I understand that yesterday they had a big crowd, so please come in today. We they brought in food. I see somebody will be getting biscuits.
Bojangles biscuits.
Yeah, so they have those and fruit. Rufus went right to the fruit. That's a good man. I appreciate it.
I'm wondering how long that will last.
I don't know, but if Linda's been listening, Rufus just ate some fruit.
I'm skipping the fruit, sorry.
Okay. Going right for the biscuit.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will. And they'll go right for the folks here that they know, probably some of them. Many are repeat customers here. And so they we talked about their salesman so many times. Jeff Hoffman's talking to somebody that you feel like you know them, I'm sure. But come in, and this is a really good atmosphere. It's very relaxed, and there's no pressure sales at the aluminum company.
So they sell windows. They have a showroom here. We're in the showroom with a bunch of windows, but they sell other stuff too, huh?
Yeah, they sell everything but the biscuits, I think. and they'll have food trucks today, and they used to have kind of a cookout. And you know, somebody here would cook all these hot dogs and hamburgers and everything. But Sammy decided it was probably better if it have a little variety and get food trucks. They'll have ice cream. And Sammy, do we have a have something for Sammy. Do we have a headset?
Yeah, we could give Sammy my microphone.
We can hook something up. Yeah. He's gone. Or he's coming back. Sammy, come over here and oh wow.
Oh,
nice.
He just presented me with another gift certificate for the Super Kids. $1,500.
Nice.
And that is always something that brings a lot of money for the Super Kids. And people have had the best experience with this, Sammy.
Well, I'm
the
always.
Best experiences.
Well, I appreciate y'all having us and y'all being here. And we're always glad to contribute. It's a great cause. And we always want to continue our support.
Well, thank you so much. Such a nice thing. And y'all do a lot of that, I know. And you're always welcoming to people, and they're coming in even early in the day here. I've seen some couples coming in, and it's just a relaxed atmosphere, no pressure.
It's all about just getting everybody together. Like we've always said, we're a family organization, family-owned, and
That's right. We're
just here to inform homeowners, help them with their decision-making process, feed them a little bit. You got to feed family. So come on out. We've got Bojangles already. We're going to have a food truck this afternoon, an ice cream truck, and be sure if you come in, even if you just come and say, hey, be sure to get your name in for the drawing today. We're going to be drawing for some large gift certificates at the end of the day.
That's true, and these are custom-made windows, and mainly, I guess they're all windows. Are they different types of windows?
We make everything custom to your home. Your specifications on your doors, your windows. You design the door with the salesperson. You can come and bring a picture of your home. And we will sit there and custom make your door from the hinges to the paint color to the door style, the glass style, the hardware style. They'll go through every option with you till we completely construct your door to your specifications.
Well, I've just had, I guess last year, y'all installed a bunch of doors, replaced a bunch of doors, and the roof, and I don't know what else, but that. It's magnificent.
It
makes a difference. I mean, it really, really does. Our front door was wooden. It was a nice door, but this one is fiberglass, and it's the right color on the front. It came with that. We specified the color we wanted for the outdoors part of it, and a stained look on the inside. It's unbelievable.
Well, we got hopefully what you wanted, and
exactly, exactly. You duplicated what we had,
Good. Except
it's a. It's a much better door. I'm talking about the entrance door. And that's the real focal point of a house is the entrance door.
You use your door opening more than you use any other opening in your house. You're going through that door every day, multiple times a day. So you want a good, solid, structural door.
Well, I learned just in a five-minute conversation with Jeff that the windows I had in my house, because I brought a picture, are builder grade. Which I didn't know that was a thing, but so they've got higher quality than he gave me all the options, very helpful.
Yeah, they always are. Jeff Hoffman was who Paul talked to, but you have some great people here who can help you decide what you want, and June is here to help with other things, too.
Well, we've got a wealth of knowledge here. Most of my salespeople have been with us for a number of years, so hundreds of years of experience between all my staff, and we're general contractors here. Most of our sales staff are, and I am, and we're here to help educate. Even if you just want to come out and ask questions, bring photos of what you got at your home, if any concerns, and we're here to help you.
Roofing, siding, doors, windows.
Roofing, yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Gutters, gutter helmets, railing, columns. Everything outside of your house.
Yeah, it's incredible. And food today. Sammy, Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I see a young Monsoon back there somewhere.
Right. He's all over the place.
Young Monsoon's here. I text old Monsoon to see if he wanted to come out and join us, maybe jump on the radio a couple times.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So,
nice to see him.
Yeah, well, again, we're continuing on the legacy, and young Hannah will be here in a little bit. My son has had to make a stop for one of my sales guys, but he's headed in also right now, so –
He's starting from the ground up. He's learning everything, just like Ryan did.
He started at a young age also here. He started here just sweeping floors and labeling mail when he was 12, just coming in, hanging out with me. And he just graduated, and now he's training for the next generation of aluminum
Wonderful.
Company.
That is so fantastic.
Great.
Sammy, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Sammy Hanna owns the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, and we're all off to a great start this morning. Lots of people coming in. People are busy eating biscuits and deciding on the future look of their house. So I always think of Bart Rittner when I come in here. I think of Bart a lot anyway because I worked with him so many years. When he retired, he was the guy who came over here. He had done commercials for the Aluminum Company for a long, long time, but he was quite a photographer. In fact, I have a photo my first year at WPTF. I'm behind the controls in old Studio A downtown and on Salisbury Street, and Bart took that picture. So that cherish that. But Bart took the before and after pictures of houses before the Aluminum Company stepped in to replace and repair. And it really is stark differences.
I remember the other thing I learned about windows.
From Jeff.
Yeah, from Jeff, is that the windows they have would make the house quieter.
Yeah. You
know, so if you're in a noisy neighborhood, if you're near a street, I'd never even thought of that, that the quality of windows could impact how quiet it is inside your house. So that was interesting.
There are a lot of things, insulation, types of insulation. There's just many, many things when you're building a house or when you're buying one that you want to look for. And, yeah, a quiet house is nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that certainly contributes because, you know, houses have a lot of windows, and that can bring in a lot of noise, even closed. So, and they have ways you can test some of the windows here and how easy they are to operate, and the doors, too. They have many examples of doors. And we had a door replaced in our garage. The garage is not that old, but it had glass in it, the one that came when we built the garage from the inside of the mudroom to the garage. And when they replaced it here at the Aluminum Company, they put in a solid door because it was a fire code thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things have changed over the years.
Yeah, that
they
makes
up with that too.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's a smart upgrade.
Yeah. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener, and Paul McKenzie is with us this morning. So glad to have my friend with me, and Harrison here from the morning show. He's engineering this morning. He's dealing with the with the bad mics and everything else that goes with that job. Chip Winstead is here, I do agree with you sometimes, Chip, but it's a weighted thing. It's to have to agree with you on something. We're both wearing master stuff today.
Fancy vest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got one of those nice golf emblems on it. Are you one of those fancy dancy golfers?
He plays golf. That's one reason Chip retired was so he could play golf a little more with the high rollers. Do you bet? You don't bet? I didn't think you did. Huh?
Years ago we did.
Oh, years ago. All right.
Well, it's going to be like one time this woman's preacher said to the fellow, why are you playing? It's awful that you play golf on Sunday when you should be in church. And the man's wife said, he plays awful every day he plays.
Do you play well? Used to? All right.
Well, speaking of golf, folks might have concerns about their lawns this time of year.
Well, it's what I have mainly is weeds. I've just I've neglected it because I have so many competing trees and shrubs now that it's really hard to have both.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. But I have patches here and there.
Yeah.
And Chip's got warm season grasses. He's got zoysia, and he can even grow some in fair amount of shade. Was that emerald or?
In the front yard I had emerald. In the backyard I have Zeon.
Yeah. Now that's a newer variety. What did you have back there before?
Dirt.
Oh, just dirt. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
They just kind of. we took out a lot of trees over the years, and now we've got enough sunlight.
Yeah.
We can grow grass. Warren says the grass is
back. Boy, we lost a tree and had one cut down, and it's really one in front, one in back. And it's really made a great deal of difference in the way things are growing. Plus, this winter was so warm that everything is growing. The weeds are just nuts, and all the blooming plants are too. I don't remember seeing them plants blooming so well. Everything, azaleas particularly.
Well, one thing on your turf weeds, we've entered a period of time where folks have got to jump on the weed management early. I mean, way earlier. I mean, like for your cool season broadleaf weeds, you've probably got to be treating those in like early February.
Yeah.
I mean,
with a pre-emergence.
Well, you can use a pre-emergent, but even a post-emergent in early February.
Yeah.
Because those weeds have germinated by early mid-February, and that's when they've just germinated, that's the time to treat them. And of course, what's happening is those weeds are germinating earlier because of the changing climate. And so, if folks are looking for that weed-free lawn, you got to jump on it early. It's really, if you're looking at your weedy lawn right now and you're thinking, I wonder what I can treat, you've kind of missed the boat, and you kind of just need to put a note on the calendar for next year. But zoysia is a great choice. I love zoysia as a turf grass. It makes it beautiful.
I have got zoysia growing in places it should not be growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main reason is for 30 years I've used fairway green to take care of my yard.
Oh.
With the pre-emergent, the fertilizer, and the lime, everything. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's really about the same or cheaper than
it's cheaper because they use things you can't buy.
Yeah, and
they do it at exactly the right time.
They know what they're doing, too.
Like I can say, if you miss a window for 2 or 3 weeks, you're done.
Timeliness is absolutely crucial with turf care, with all things in gardening, but with turf care, it's vital.
I've seen several signs in the last 3 years in my neighborhood for them, and it's a great company.
It's the largest in this market now.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I mean, if you do a good job, and there's a lot of competition in that, but we appreciate.
They've been on WPTF for 30 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mike, I just saw an old friend over here.
Carter Q's over
there. Carter Q's over there.
We have a librarian with us, and it's always good. We'll get a chance to talk to you, Carter, if you don't mind. Hang around a little while.
Yeah, he's a good source of information.
Absolutely. And information is hard to come by sometimes. Good information, legitimate information.
Well, I want to repeat again. I admire people that have these nice, nice lawns. But I'm sort of like Mike. Got a lot of weeds.
We have colonial lawns.
If it grows and it's green, you can mow it.
Like clover.
And you don't, and like clover, you've got the hint there.
Clover gives back, though, Rufus, right?
I just seeded
it gives,
some clover.
It puts nitrogen in the soil.
I seeded some clover about 2 weeks ago. It's popping out now. And when I put it out, I don't even dig up any, rough up any ground turf, Paul, because just throw some seed out with clover and it'll pick right up.
If you had a tractor, I bet you'd do some disking.
Yeah, I don't get me on that now again.
Well, I like your strategy, Rufus, and it's one that I apply personally as well. But in defense of high-quality turf.
I love beautiful yards.
If you have high-quality turf, you're going to have less weeds in your flower beds.
Right, and if you're able, warm season grass adjusts, I think, better in this state, most of this state, or at least central and eastern North Carolina.
I think Bermuda and zoysia are good choices. You know, people are kind of, I think, reluctant with Bermuda because it is aggressive moving into flower beds and such. That can be managed. I mean, that could be managed. It takes some management, but it can be managed.
Yeah. Centipede, as you get farther east, centipede seems to work well. When you get on the coast, it's really hard to find, unless you're a year-round person at the beach, than someone who can take care of it unless you have a lawn service that takes care of it. It's hard to get anything to grow down there that's not a weed. It's hard to establish a warm season, even a warm something like St. Augustine that, you know, they grow a lot in Florida and Georgia and so forth, the coastal areas. And there's even a variety that you can grow in this area, but it's, you know, it's still tough to establish on the coast.
Yeah, Michael, speaking of the beach, some years ago I mentioned that I had grown a couple oleanders. I think they're the most beautiful things in the world. They died out. Now I'm thinking, Paul, with the climate change, I might try oleander again.
Well,
they bloom about the same time as azaleas.
There's at least one variety that is supposed to be a little more cold tolerant that people have tried up here, but I don't know if they're successful, because you go to the beach, a ship goes down to Wrightsville and Long Beach and all in that area, they still get hit, sometimes get killed back in the beach areas.
Talk about your Seaside article in the magazine.
Yeah, oleanders, I'm trying to remember all of that that I wrote about. Black pines. I don't know if you ever seen a black pine. There are a lot of black pines at Topsail, and that's where I've gone most of my life. Mm-hmm. And the Indian hawthorn works well down there. The Pittosporum thrives. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some plants. People try to plant crepe myrtles, and they will work, but a lot of things, you know, the wind down there is tough on a lot of plants. So you've got to find, and you know, there are a zillion plants that you can come up with that might work, some that will not. But, you know, there are a lot of shrubs other than the ones I've mentioned, but those are some that are pretty much guaranteed. I love the shape of the pine, the black pine, Japanese black pine, for instance.
Yeah, the thing to do is wherever you are in North Carolina, connect with your local extension office.
Yeah, and you know, New Hanover County, they have a beautiful arboretum.
They do.
There, and
a great Master Gardener volunteer program, and you're going to find an extension agent in every county who's got that local knowledge that can help you with plant selection, that can help you with the, you know, when do you need to fertilize your lawn? What species can you plant? When to do the weed management? All that kind of stuff.
A good example of that, Paul, is the whip. Many in the audience are familiar with the whip.
That's Alamance County.
Alamance
territory.
County.
Yeah.
And he had contacted his local extension service about
controlling
stilt grass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they wrote back a nice article about tough.
Their recommendations, and they were mostly post-emergent. They didn't mention pre-emergent.
Right. Right.
And what was Flucellate or something? Flusa something.
Fluazifop.
Now, what is a name that we would find in a big box store at a nursery?
Grass Be Gone is probably.
That would make sense.
And there's also basically you're looking for. It's a grass weed.
Yeah.
It's a grass. Japanese stilt grass is a grass. And so you're looking for something. If it's in a flower bed, or you got, you know, marigolds and petunias and coneflowers and stuff like that, you can probably use a post-emergent, you know, where you spray right over the top of your flowers, grass control product. And Grass Be Gone is one. There's other variations on the theme, you know, so the Grass Be Gone is not the only one, but that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And Fluazifop is, you know, if you read the fine print, you'll see Fluazifop or Cethoxidem. Nobody's going to remember that.
Glyphosate we hear a lot about.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Don't use that.
Yeah, because Roundup will take care of.
that'll take care of your marigolds and your coneflowers.
Everything,
and your
But this is grass. Oh, is that the document that lawyers have a lot of documents. That's
yeah, Paul. That's there's the email the, note that, that we've got.
Oh, nice.
And Mike and I tried to say that word coming
over
here.
Oh, Ben, my good friend Ben Grandin.
In fact, we practiced, yeah. But it didn't work.
Yeah, Ben is a fantastic extension agent in Guilford County. He's terrific.
Well, it was nice of him to
flew me oxygen okay.
To write the whip. We appreciate that, Ben.
The whip, we appreciate you sharing that with us.
You had a bunch of extension agents over there. I enjoyed talking to the gentleman from Lewisburg. That's there now.
Charles
yeah.
Mitchell. He's
I
the county
enjoyed
director
him a lot.
There. Charles is a good friend.
I was trying to convince him to come on the show. He's got a boy that's playing baseball right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I said, well, Charles, you're gonna find an excuse in the fall too, aren't you? I'm gonna get you at some point.
Charles is a good guy. He's exceptionally knowledgeable. He's helped me out countless times.
Yeah. And somebody came from Greensboro too.
That was Ben.
That was Ben. Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
I
met Ben.
That was Ben Grandin that wrote that letter.
Let's talk to Helen and Raleigh in our remaining minutes in this hour. Hello, Helen.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Helen?
I'm hanging in there. I'm at the nation's capital. Getting ready.
This is Helen Yost. Okay. You were up there for a wedding, right, Helen?
That's right. Yeah. So it's cold and windy in my book, but I'd rather be in Raleigh.
Well, you have a lot to do with the beauty of a wonderful garden and a garden that was owned by friends of Rufus for many years. And I know there are a lot of good things going on there.
There is. And we're going to have our annual plant sale next Saturday in the Johnson Garden. I'm thinking, I'm getting old, so I can't remember these things, but I think it's our fourth year. And we use that money to put back into the garden for perennials and trees and shrubs to help beautify it and improve the visitor's experience.
The Jocelyn Garden is a treasure.
It is.
I met Helen at the at one of the shows you did at the Farmer's Market.
Right.
She was there, and she was talking about in the plant sale. And we went. My wife and I went. And it was delightful.
Yeah,
it's a treasure.
And Rufus, of course, knows.
You need to come right now because the azaleas, the native, and the indicas, they're blooming their heads off.
Yeah, what are you going that real steep one, real steep bank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got on that, Helen? I can't remember.
Well, you know, it's here because it ages ago. Early 1900s, it was farmland, and they had terraces. So it is steep and it's hilly, but it's also gradual. And so we have, like at the street, we're adding Japanese maples, a collection of that slowly. This plant sale will add more to that, so you don't necessarily have to go in the garden. You just need to drive by.
Helen, we've got to go to the news. Can you hang on a couple of minutes for us and
we'll
get back and talk more about the Jocelyn Garden?
My pleasure.
All right. Helen Yost with us, an author and curator of the Jocelyn Garden. We'll be back with more from the Aluminum Company of North Carolina.